ringers.
You're listening to Today.
In the next hour, I'll be talking to Nicola Sturgeon about her demands for a new BBC channel totally devoted to Scotland. Sort of like Radio 4, but... but slightly less Scottish. The list of the latest peers has been announced. I'm sure they'll have gone to the most deserving of people.
Hello, Jim. What an honour. Now I just need to find a title appropriate to my status.
Lord help us.
I'll do fine.
Now, there's been a furious reaction as net migration to the UK hits record levels. David Cameron joins me from a beach somewhere.
That's very unfair, Jim. Everyone's entitled to a holiday, and I'm just trying to chillax and get my head together here in Cornwall for next week when I return to Portugal for more intensive holidays.
You promised to get net migration down to the tens of thousands.
That wasn't so much a promise, Jim, as a vague suggestion wrapped in a gossamer envelope of aspiration drifting on a sea of pipe dreams.
Can you explain why you can't keep to any of your election pledges?
No, I really can't. It's very hard work justifying things, which is why I've outsourced my excuses.
You've outsourced your excuses?
That's right, my excuses. My, we're clearing up the messes of the last government. My, we're tackling the problem and making progress. All of that empty crap I usually have to come out with. And they're all now supplied by G4S.
Welcome back to Come Dine With Me. It's the final meal, and it's the turn of confused Captain Birdseye lookalike Jeremy. Jeremy's favourite's a win, but what's he cooking up?
As you know, I'm vehemently opposed to cutbacks of any kind, so everyone is getting second helpings tonight.
Jeremy takes a quick break to explain his theme for the evening.
I'm going for a 1980s theme.
He's sticking pineapple and cheese into a tinfoil hedgehog before turning up his ghetto blaster. Let's see what guest Yvette thinks of the menu.
This isn't about winners and losers. It's about being ready for 2020.
Better hurry up then, love. It's nearly 7:30. First guest is Liz, who has arrived, Blair, right on time.
Hello, Liz. Fancy a wine?
This party's moving too far to the left. We're not connecting with voters. Why doesn't anyone like me?
Looks like Liz can whine about anything. Wonder what Andy thinks of the evening so far.
When I saw what Jeremy was serving and how popular it was, I decided to tell everyone that my menu was exactly the same.
Looks like Jeremy could win this hands down. But will he get the 51% of the votes he needs?
I'm giving Jeremy an 8, which means he'll probably win, but I don't mind as long as I get everyone's second vote.
I decided to abstain from this vote until such time as an opinion poll tells me what to think.
Hang on, what's Moped doing here?
Just a second here. I've paid my £3. I'm allowed to vote for Jeremy anyone else.
Oh, what a dog's dinner. Coming up next, Four in a Bed, where we'll take every single Lib Dem MP and put them in two beds. Welcome to The One Show with Matt Baker.
And me, Alex Jones.
Now, we are live from the World Athletics Championships for a very special One Show event. Our very own Alex Jones is going to be making a world record attempt.
That's right. I'm going to attempt to make the most continuity links between very fluffy and silly items and incredibly serious items.
Well, let's welcome Brendan Foster to commentate.
Hello there. If you're just joining us, Alex has taken a mark. And she's under starter's orders.
Ah, thanks to the East Norwood brownies there, those Rice Krispies cakes look so Moorish. And something else that's definitely Moorish, sadly, is gambling addiction.
She's off. Looking good. Now the link back to fun.
Let's hope Ian's widow can persuade others to be financially smart. And smart was exactly what entrants in the Stockton Auntie's fancy dress dog show were.
Ooh, lightning speed there.
Rough, rough indeed. Well, rough, rough might be the slogan for this next group of people who've lost loved ones to falling roof tiles. Ah, what an avoidable and stupid loss of life. And stupid, of course, rhymes with Cupid, Western Infant School. I've got a very wacky Valentine's Day planned.
Come on, Alex.
Oh, it's great the kids are going to celebrate Valentine's Day in style, but something lots of people don't love is debt-related suicide.
Oh. Lovely stuff. Oh, that's great. Can she squeeze in another?
A terribly sad story there, but Lionel Blair joins us now. Lionel, we'll talk to you about your new book on fancy hats in a moment, but have you ever thought of ending it all?
Oh, she's done it.
In a world where the Labour leadership contest has gotten kind of boring, one man is getting away from it all.
I wish I'd bought some fun cream.
Ed Miliband stars in Castaway 2. After a tragic election, Ed finds himself completely cut off from the world with a pair of sandals.
I have to wear socks because I don't like it when my little toe pokes out of the sock.
And a beard.
I was aiming for a full George Best, but it's ended up more sort of salt and pepper bum fluff.
Ed battles against the odds in this classic tale of love, loss, and Labour Party membership.
At last, I've found some Wi-Fi now. I can finally log in and cast my vote. What? Membership declined? We have decided you don't share the values of the Labour Party.
You're watching the 10 o'clock news. If Scotland gets independence, don't worry, you'll still have me. The headlines again. The Queen is about to honour some deserving British heroes. Sophie Raworth is at the palace. Sophie.
Hello, Hugh. The atmosphere is electric here. I'm bobbing about with excitement. The Queen is about to give OBEs to two men who tackled a deranged wacko on a train. Jeff and Brian join me now. So what actually happened?
Well, Sophie, it just started as a normal day. I was on the 1715 from Waterloo calling Woking when I saw this suspicious-looking man reach into his pocket and pull out a device.
You got a good look at it.
Yeah, it was definitely a phone.
A phone.
Yeah, exactly, and we were in a quiet carriage.
Oh, heavens, I'm standing here looking quite mortified.
Yeah, then he started talking to his wife, saying that, you know, he'd be home in 40 minutes and to make sure she'd called Emma Dale.
This is appalling, absolutely appalling.
Exactly. I thought either we deal with him or we might have to listen to him going on about getting tickets for the Rugby World Cup final.
Yeah, so I sort of caught his eye and when he looked at me, I kind of moved my eyeballs to the sign which says Quiet Zone, and Brian here sort of cleared his throat and said, "Do you mind?"
And you stopped him dead?
No, he apologised, ended the call and said he hadn't noticed the sign.
And did you believe him?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I did, but at the same time, I do understand why the police had to shoot him.
Welcome to the World Athletics Championship on the BBC. 9.8 seconds of fun, sandwiched between 4.5 hours of tedium. Joining me in the studio, Mo Farah.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Mrs. Logan. Your house is really cool.
Thanks. Mo, a win in your next race could make you the first athlete in history to achieve a triple-double. What's your secret?
Well, I've always kept it under my hat, but as you asked nicely, Miss, I'm happy to reveal my secret to success. I move my legs really fast.
Right. But surely it can't just be that.
Well, of course, obviously, I don't just move my legs really fast. That would be silly. I also make sure my feet go really fast as well.
Genius. And how do you recover from falling over like you did in the semi-final?
Oh, you know, it was tough, but I'll always remember what my coach taught me. He said, if you almost fall, just don't, and then run really fast to the end.
Don't you just have to to stop you there, Mo. Michael Johnson has managed to catch Usain Bolt by the 100 metres track. Can you hear me, Michael?
Man, I sure can, Gabby. Now, Usain, a lot has been made of your good versus evil clash with drug cheat Justin Gatlin this weekend. What have you made of it all?
Not much, you know. Like, we've all done bad things in the past, you know. You've seen my performances in the Virgin adverts, eh?
Usain, you seem remarkably relaxed for a man about to run maybe the biggest race of his career. Come to think of it, isn't it starting soon?
Yeah, it's already started.
What, shouldn't you be running, Usain?
I thought I'd kick back for a bit, you know. Do a few interviews, sit down with a good book, you know. Maybe have a calipo. No rush, right?
But listen, bud, but...
Hey, I always win, Michael. You got a light?
Yeah.
Family good?
Yeah, they're just fine. Thanks, Usain.
Good to hear. Right, well, I'd best be off. Got a race to win, you know.
And check that out. Usain Bolt has won the race. Back to you in the studio, Gabby.
Wow, that is incredible stuff. What did you make of that, Mo?
Yeah, it was amazing. He ran really fast, didn't he? That naughty man stole my secret.
Hello, comrades, and welcome to my first Corbyn for Leader podcast, which will also be available in Betamax and as a mixtape. Once again, the running dog capitalist press has totally misrepresented my pledge regarding women-only train carriages by ignoring the second and far more popular part of that pledge, Michael Portillo-free train carriages. Under a Corbyn government, you'll feel safe boarding any renationalised train, day or night, the length and breadth of Britain, knowing Portillo won't be there making one of his documentaries. If you do find a Portillo in a Portillo-free carriage, simply pull the communication cord and inflate the emergency Diane Abbott, which should scare him away.
This is BBC One. Coming up next, we waste millions on a trailer reminding you how badly Britain needs the BBC when Flock Stars and ITV does it for nothing. But first, it's time to don our Agatha Christie hats as Tommy and Tuppence investigate in Partners in Crime.
Major Beresford, I have to speak to you in a breathless, frightfully posh manner. I've cracked it. I know who the secret adversary is.
Tell me quickly and I'll listen in a kindly uncle-type way that only a character played by James Fleet can.
I've noticed over the last 5 weeks there's a sinister man who follows me everywhere he goes. He's the oddest of creatures, with tiny squinting eyes, a pasty complexion, a creepy voice and a very suspicious, almost homosexual manner.
My dear, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the gentleman you describe is not the secret adversary. He is, in fact, your husband, Tommy, played by David Walliams.
What?
Yes, I am truly sorry.
My husband? Well, that's the most ridiculous development so far in this implausible story. I'm a young, attractive woman, and he's horrid and bloated and creepy like Piers Morgan in a Trilby. Surely my husband would be some sort of dishy actor.
Alas, Tuppence, this is 2015. As everyone knows, there are no privately educated posh males in the acting industry to approximate the performance of an upper-class man.
Hello, darling.
Major, what shall I do?
Talk to him, my dear. Be nice to him. He might even be able to deliver a line romantically.
Yes, you're right, yes. Hello, darling. What say we pack a picnic and go all al fresco?
You're a marvel, darling. I adore you.
Or perhaps not.
Shall we solve the mysterious case now, darling?
Of course, darling.
Because then we can go home and have some relations of an intimate nature. We are husband and wife, after all.
Oh, my. Major.
Yes, my dear.
My amateur sleuth instinct sense there may be another murder very soon.
Hey, it's Rob here in transfer.
Yeah, hello there. Is that the recording studio?
It is indeed.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's Andy Murray calling. I just needed a little bit of advice about recording something.
Okay.
What it was, my mum was saying that now is the time that I should perhaps record a single or a song or something like that, something to just show an extra, more diverse side of my career at the stage.
We can do that here.
Excellent. What sort of thing do you record? Could I record any style of music, any choice of song there?
Whatever you like, really.
I saw an advert on the telly the other day, and I might sort of like do the music from that one.
Okay, have you got a link to it?
Well, yeah, I can do it now if you like. Hang on. Was born a London star. Was born under a London star.
Perfect.
Was born under a wandering star.
Lovely, you've got a great voice.
Would that be alright?
Yeah, perfect.
It's 10:30. You're scrolling through your 500 TV channels. Benefits cheats. Cheats on benefits. Gypsy cheats on benefits. Dogs on the dole. Keeping up with the Kardashians. Kardashians on the dole. Lee Evans live. More Lee Evans live. Lee Evans on the dole. Hot Fuzz on ITV2. Yes, it's time to head to Netflix for more House of Cards.
Francis, I will not allow you to demean the office of the president.
The office held by Kennedy, who screwed his way through Camelot. Held by Nixon, who lied so much he didn't know what truth was.
You can be better than all of them, Frank.
Claire, your naivete is touching. I grant you that. But I don't...
Blimey, O'Reilly! I think I just overshot that turn.
What are you doing in my house?
Just test driving for my new show on Amazon.
You asshole, this is Netflix.
I knew those brakes on that monster truck were a bit spongy. Can you direct me back to Amazon?
You go back where you came, turn right at Freeview, left at Blinkbox, straight out past Uview, and you can't miss it.
Cheers, sexy. Anytime you decide to start eating food again, give me a call. I'll take you out for some dinner and fellatio.
Dare you make such an off-color remark to my wife?
Oh, hang on, Wiggy. Just gonna take this. What? You have got to be kidding me. I've only gone and got fired from Amazon. Anyone would think that punching a kitten while standing on a dwarf was somehow beyond the pale. Well, I'm sure there's any number of subscription channels desperate to sign me up, whatever I do, just to get a few final glimmers of my fading notoriety. Hello? Excellent! Netflix are offering me $1 trillion more than Amazon did.
Hang on a minute, hang on. Where's Francis?
Who cares, toots? President Clarkson sure sounds good to me. Boorish, sexist, and always insulting foreigners. Who needs Donald Trump?
BBC Radio 4. The late-night edition of Woman's Hour has been accused of being overly sexual, X-rated, and borderline indecent. But then again, they say the same about my voice. We've got more late-night action for all you naughty little chaffinches. Strap in. Now it's time for Late Night Money Box.
Are you ready for some hot, steamy, penny-pinching action? If you like saving hard, then this is the place for you. So tighten your fists and pinch those pennies, as boy do we have some red-hot tips for you. Did you know that by switching to energy-saving light bulbs, you could save somewhere in the region of £4.50 a year? Core, you like that, don't you? Buying supermarket brand pharmaceutical products can save up to 32 pence in every shop. Excuse me. Putting water in your half-empty shampoo bottles can make them last longer. Much, much longer. Our phone line is stuffed with the stingiest, thriftiest, most miserly pension advisors ready to take your calls. You can discuss fiscal responsibility. Oh. Package deals. Oh, yes. No-risk ISAs. Oh, yeah, just there. Coupons. That's the one. Cavity wall insulation. Oh, it's too much. Maximizing club card points. Oh, yes, that's got it. But that's the end of your one-minute free view. If any of you frugal lot want to hear more from me, you'll have to call our premium rate money box hotline. But, of course, you won't do that, because you're all too stingy. My, oh my, we have taught you well.
Now on BBC One, Anne Robinson presents another episode of Britain's Spending Secrets.
Hello, and welcome to the programme where we look at how people spend their money and invite you to judge them for it. In these tough times, everyone has money troubles. And who better to illustrate that than me, a woman worth over £40 million? I'm here with Claire, who's a single mum on benefits, and so really easy for judgmental people to hate. So what are you doing, Claire?
I'm doing my supermarket shop.
Now, a supermarket is a bit like Ocado, except you have to physically come here. And this one is what's called a Tesco's.
I'm not shopping at Lidl. I have got standards, you know.
Well, you wouldn't know from looking at you. So, Claire, why on earth are you buying those sausages? These other ones here are 40 pence cheaper.
I just want to give my kids decent food.
But if you bought the cheaper sausages, you'd have 40 pence.
And what could I do with that?
Well, don't ask me. I haven't carried cash since the 1990s.
Well, it's all right for some, isn't it?
You should see my cosmetic surgery bills. Cost a fortune to look this weird.
I've had enough of this.
Claire has stormed off. But don't worry, we have other ways of judging her. I've been waiting in what is astonishingly Claire's only bathroom. She's just come in. Hello, Claire.
What are you doing in my shower?
Now, as you can see, Claire is on the lavatory.
I didn't say you could film in here.
Read your contract, love. Not only is Claire using a luxury brand of toilet paper, but look how many sheets she's about to use.
Get out!
I think we've demonstrated that Claire's obscene spending on loo rolls and offal is the real cause of her poverty, rather than any complex underlying social factors that are hard to show on TV. Right, so I'm off home. The only question is, which one? Goodbye.
And now on Good Food Plus One HD, another trip to River Cottage, where Hugh Fernley Whittingstall is doing something as completely normal as his name suggests.
Welcome. Autumn is coming to the River Cottage, and in order to prepare, I'm fetching in some ingredients that will help us get through the long winter. I'll be using something we've all got hanging around at the bottom of our gardens, this kiln made out of rare fossils. It took me 9 days to build it from scratch, completely naked. I've got 9 days to spare mucking about building things in my garden. You probably have two. So what have I got here? I've found an elephant, and I'll be cooking it with the kind of things that we all have in our gardens at this time of year. Sparrow chirps, old bent straw bits, buttered Nazis, a dead crisp, some mouse chippings, 3 tons of goat shit, a jar of wasp hair, 2 smelly hats, a picture of a bear with its winky out, some scary licorice bits, and this wrinkly old pearly queen.
Apples and pears, dear.
Shut up. Let's get started. I'm going to begin by lightly humiliating the elephant with a pot of moustache wax and some lesbian butter. But I'm only going to tell you I'm doing it without actually showing you how it's done, so that you'll sort of like the idea of it, but never stand a chance of actually doing it yourself. A bit like group sex. Now sod off before I set my badges on you. You're watching Newsnight with me, Evan Davis. Either that or J.K. Rowling has taken Dobby the Elf in a new direction. Now to speak to our foreign correspondent, Lise Doucette. Lise, how are things where you are?
Scenes of utter devastation here, Evan.
Sorry, Lise, was that otter devastation?
Otter?
How many otters have been killed?
Not otter, otter.
Butter?
Let's settle on total.
Deal. Where are you?
Umar in Morocco.
A bar in Milwaukee.
A camp near the border.
I'm a camp little baldy.
Morocco.
Milwaukee.
The border.
A baldy. Let's switch a microphone off.
No. I've seen chaos.
An ice cream kiosk.
Pandemonium.
Pandas moaning. Are you in a zoo?
No, I'm in a port-a-loo.
Oh, let's switch the damn thing off. But oh, if we switch it off, there'll be no news to see.
And oh, if there were no news, there'd be no job for me.
Oh, me, so I'll say Grexit.
And I'll say Groxot.
I'll say Syria.
And I'll say Soria. Lives will perish.
Is that even English? Let's switch the damn thing off. I'll say terror.
And I'll say tur. I'll say Obama.
Are you eating a banana? Your words are mangled. You sound like you've been strangled. Ours not to reason why. Thank God we're not on Sky.
Lise Doucette, BBC News.
Nope, not a clue.
Ringers was performed by John Coleshaw, Lewis McLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howarth, Ed Amston and Tom Coles, James Bugg, Laura Major, Sarah Campbell, Max Davis, Duncan Wisby and Liam Byrne. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Radio Comedy production.